Bible, say, this is God's word. Not Apostle Evans' word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for being who you are. You're Jehovah Jireh when we need you. You're Jehovah Shalom when we need peace. You're Jehovah Rapha when we need healing. You're Jehovah Shammah who's always there. So we come in the mighty name of Jesus. And our prayer today, Heavenly Father, is for you to feed us spiritual manna that we can lead this place with direction, with focus, with encouragement, with favor, with healing, with deliverance. We'll lead better than when we came. And we give you thanks and praise for what we're going to hear. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Can everybody say amen? Amen, amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. You all look amazing. Can we just give a hand clap to those who are watching online? Can we just give them a hand clap? May I also ask very quickly, if today is your birthday, would you stand up if today is your birthday? Anybody got a birthday today? No? Okay. All right. All right. Well, praise the Lord. I was going to bless them too. So I started. Y'all, let's cast the lion spirits out too. Lion spirits, lion spirits. So I started a new series called You Matter. Everybody say You Matter. And the purpose of the series is threefold. To help believers understand that serving should be an obligation, not a negotiation. And we learn because the reason that should be is Jesus died for us. Therefore, we owe him our lives. Say amen to that. The second reason we're doing the series is to help believers see that their service in God's kingdom matters. And then number three is to help believers understand that serving positions them to receive asking status from God. So what I'm going to do, because it's been 2 weeks, I'm going to do a small review and then we're going to jump into this morning's message. As a matter of fact, if you need the notes, raise your hand and our ushers will give you a copy of today's notes. But last time we learned, number one, that you matter. Look at somebody and tell them you matter. See, God has uniquely created us and he set us as a member in his body. And what he's called us to do matters. Why? Because no one can do it like us, because he created us uniquely. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 18 says, but now, everybody say now. Now has God set the members, every one of them in the body. Who set the members in the body? God. And then it goes on to say, as it has pleased him. Notice it didn't say, as it has pleased them. Say amen. So when God sets us in the body, it is our responsibility to be where he has called us. Amen. Anytime you try to, let me say it like this. You don't move when man asks you to move. You move when God tells you to move. Amen. Do you know that wolves scatter, but shepherds gather? Everybody say, wolves scatter, but shepherds gather. Amen. We also learned that serving is a heart thing and not just a hand thing. In other words, serving starts with the heart before it's carried out with the hands. The third thing we learned 2 weeks ago is that serving should start with him and before it's given out to them. Colossians 3:23 says, and whatever you do, do it heartily to who? To the Lord and not to men. And then number four, we learn that serving has benefits. we learned that one of the major benefits, because there are more than just one, is asking status with God. And so we read John chapter 15, verse 16. Jesus said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Well, why did he choose us? He said, "Because I've ordained you that you should go and bring forth what, church? Fruit." And he says, "And if your fruit remains," in other words, if your fruit stays, he says, "that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name," read this with me, "he may give it to you." Now, what's interesting is it didn't say he will give it to you. It says he may give it to you. You say, "Well, what's the difference, Apostle?" Well, he won't give it to you if you're asking something outside of his will. So depending on what you're asking, well, depending on what he's going to do. And so there are four things, everybody say four things, really five, that Jesus said that's important in this verse. Here's the first thing he said, is that we've been chosen by him. In other words, church, guess what? You and I have been handpicked by Jesus. The second thing that verse was saying is that he, Jesus, has ordained us to do something, and that something that he's ordained us to do is to produce fruit. The third thing that verse tells us is that he said that if our fruit remains, which means that speaks of continually and lasting, it needs to happen. Then number four, he says, he makes a powerful promise to us that when fruit is produced and it remains, we can ask of the Father and he's going to do it. Say amen to that. And so last week, we have a member who's in the school system. As a matter of fact, he was Maddie's principal last year or year before last, right? And he applied for another position in a different city, and it moved him up from like being an intermediate school teacher to a middle school teacher. You know, they have all these different terms. It was junior high when I was growing up. But anyway, he got a promotion and went there. Well, he's only been there for a year. And last week when he came to service as a principal. But today, he's now an area superintendent. Put my little, yeah. So listen. So area superintendent Chris Gibson interviewed, he turned in an application on Friday. Well, let me back up. It's only four of these positions in the whole district. The first time the first one came open, he was like, "I'm not going to apply. I've only been in the district for a year." Then two more came up. And normally those positions are already filled. They just put it out there just to make it look good. And so someone came to him and says, "Hey, did you see that position open up?" He said, "Yeah, but you know, those positions are already kind of given out." They was like, "No, you should apply for that." And of course, he went home and talked to his wife, and that's why you need a good wife. And she was like, "You need to apply to that." So he applied to that. He applied on a Friday, got the interview on Monday, got called into the office by the superintendent on Wednesday, and look, jumped him all the way up, and now he's the new area superintendent for the city of Richardson. And he texts me and he says, "Apostle, looks like I have asking status." So just look at somebody and say, asking status works. But you gotta work it. Amen. And so finally we learn that serving is a form of doing good works. In Titus chapter 3 verse 13, we didn't cover this one, but I want to cover it. This is what Paul said to Titus. He says, "Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing will be wanting unto them." In other words, so they won't need anything. And then verse 14, he says, "And let ours also learn." Everybody say, you have to learn this. He says, "Let everybody, let us learn to what? Maintain." Everybody say, maintain. What does maintain mean? To keep it going. He says, we need to learn how to maintain what? Good works. Why? For necessary uses, so that we might not be what? Unfruitful. So that saying, church, that when you and I are doing good works in the kingdom, then we maintain fruitfulness. But when you and I stop our good works, watch this, unfruitfulness starts. So this verse actually mirrors John 15, 16. And so today what I want to do is take this fruit producing principle And this asking status principle, I want to take it to a new level because many believers don't realize that faithful serving creates a voice for you and causes God to remember you. I'm going to say that again. Serving creates a voice for you and it causes God to remember you. Everybody say, my service has a voice. See, there are some doors that prayer will open. There are some doors that favor will open. There are some doors that God's sovereignty will open. But there are also doors that will open through serving. Amen. So our first point, if you're taking notes or following me, is your voice matters. Everybody say, your voice matters. So many people, they serve because they were raised to do it, they were told to do it, they were asked to do it, and they do that. And the problem is most people serve, but they don't activate the principle of asking status to complete the whole process. Now, I want you to pretend that my presence right here close to this piece of equipment, my presence represents me serving it. So I'm serving this, I'm close to it, I'm cleaning it, I'm making sure it's good. My presence is, in other words, I'm serving, which is what most believers do, and hopefully most members here, Word of Truth, do. We're just serving, right? The problem is we're only activating one part of the principle. He said if we produce fruit and the fruit remains, what's the second part? Asking status. So, Alexa, what is the weather in Arlington, Texas today?
Right now in Arlington, Texas, it's 77 degrees Fahrenheit with cloudy skies. Today's forecast has intermittent clouds with a high of 89 degrees and a low of 77 degrees.
Thank you. Watch this. I did not get the benefits of serving this until I asked it to give me something. When you serve, I'm telling you, and your fruit is being produced, you have to do what I just did with that piece of equipment. You got to do that to the Father and say, Father, you said if I produce fruit and my fruit remains, I can ask you what I will and it shall be given. But most people are not asking. So just look at somebody and say, you need to start asking. So what I want to do very quickly is I want to give you an example of how someone's service gave them asking status with God. I'm going to actually give you two examples. Here's the first example is this man named Hezekiah. He was a king. It says, about that time, Hezekiah became deathly ill. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, went to visit him. And he gave the king this message. This is what the Lord said. So church, who's talking? The Lord, he said, this is what the Lord says. Set your affairs in order. You better call Golden Gate. Because you are going to die. What a message from the Lord. He says, and you won't even recover from this illness. When Hezekiah heard this, he turned his face to the wall and he did what, church? Prayer is nothing but asking. Do you see that? He said he turned his face to the wall and he prayed. And look who he prayed to. He prayed to the Lord and listened to his prayer. He says, remember, everybody say remember. See, God, sometimes you got to bring into the remembrance what you have done. He says, Lord, remember how I've always been faithful to you, Lord, and I've served you, Lord, with a single-mindedly. I've always done what it takes to please you, Lord. Then he broke down and he wept bitterly. And then verse 4 says, but before Isaiah had left the middle courtyard, this message came to him from the Lord. He says, go back to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, and tell him, this is what the Lord your God, your ancestor David says, I have heard your prayer, I have heard your ask, and I've seen your tears. I will heal you, and 3 days from now, you will get out of bed and go to the temple of the Lord. That's why God heals you. He don't heal you to stay at home. He heals you to come to his place of worship. He says, I'm going to add 15 years to your life, Hezekiah, and I will rescue you from your enemies. Somebody say asking status works. So then I asked myself the question while I was studying this. Well, we can see that he got asking status from God. What did he do to get that? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 29, verse 1. I'm going to give you two examples of what he did. Here's the first one. It says, Hezekiah was 25 years old when he became the king of Judah. And he reigned in Jerusalem for 29 years. His mother was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was what? Pleasing to the Lord in the Lord's sight, just as his ancestor David had done. In the first month, listen to what happened when he first got in office. In the first month of the first year of his reign, Hezekiah reopened the doors of the temple of the Lord and he repaired them. He summoned the priests and the Levites to meet him at the courtyard east of the temple. And he said to them, listen to me, you Levites, purify yourselves and purify the temple of the Lord, the God of your ancestors, and remove all the defiled things in the sanctuary. So what were some of the fruit producing things that Hezekiah did? Well, the first thing he did, he was pleasing the Lord. Everybody say, you need to please the Lord. He pleased the Lord. Here's the second thing. He reopened the doors of the temple. In other words, these people weren't able to worship because the temple was closed. But he reopened the doors. Here's the third thing he did. He repaired the house of God. And then number four, he challenged the priests to purify themselves. Everybody say, he should have got some asking status on that. Well, let's see the second thing that he did. In 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 1, I wanted to use the same person because I wanted you to see that he did some things in his life that produced fruit and it positioned him to have asking status with God. It says now in verse 1, Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, notice the first time it mentioned his mother, now it's mentioning his father. Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, began to rule over Judah in the third year of King Hosea's reign in Israel. He was 25 years old. That's how we know we're talking about the same person when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. There we go again. His mother was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did that which was pleasing in the Lord's sight, just as his ancestor David had done. Watch now. Watch what he did this time. It says he removed the pagan shrines. He smashed the sacred pillars. These are idols, by the way, people. He cut down the Asherah poles. And watch what happened on this one, because I want you to pay attention to it. It says he broke up the bronze serpent that Moses had made. Watch this. Because the people of Israel had been offering this thing sacrifices to it. And listen. Now, what I want to do is go back so we can just read the story, so we can see how these people made an idol, watch this church, into something that God told Moses to use and heal the people. You don't make idols out of people or things that God uses to heal the people. Don't make me an idol, because idols, as we learned earlier this year, idols will make you sin. So let's see what happened in Numbers 21 very quickly. Numbers 21 verse 4. I'm reading out of the King James Version. It says, and as they, now we're just going to see why these people, what happened that caused them to start worshiping this serpent pole. And this is what he did. He destroyed it. So let's see what happened. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the souls of the people was discouraged. In other words, the congregation was discouraged because of the way. In other words, God had told Moses, go this way. And the people got discouraged. Why he going that way? Why apostle doing this? I'm going to put it in today. Here we go. Verse 5. And the people, because they was discouraged, they didn't understand why we going the long route versus going the short route. It says, and the people began to speak against God, and they began to speak against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread, there's no water out here, and our soul is getting tired of this light bread. They got tired of that Mrs. Bears. Verse 6. And the Lord, watch what happened now. So this is why you got to watch if you're complaining. So just look at somebody and say, I think he's about to talk to you right now. God got tired of the complaining. Let's see what happened. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of the people of Israel died. Therefore, the people now came running to Moses and said, "Oh, we've sinned, but we've spoken against the Lord and against you. Will you pray to the Lord so he can take away these serpents?" And Moses, such a humble man, I don't know if I would have, he prayed for the people. He prayed for the people. And verse 8 says, "And the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent, put it on a pole." This is that brazen thing that Hezekiah broke up. He says, "Take a fiery, take a serpent, put it on a pole, make it of brass." And watch what happened. "And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any person, when he looked at the serpent of brass, he lived." So listen to me, Word of Truth Family Church. Never make the thing or the person that God uses to help you or heal you into an idol. Because idols make you sin. Say amen to that. Man, if God, listen, God is smarter than we are. And he knows where we need to be. And I promise you, did you know there's an anointing on different churches? There's an anointing on this church that you're not going to get nowhere else. You say, "Are you making our church special?" Yes, I am. But everybody else's church is special in its own way. But I know there's some things on our church that'll get on you if you'll get in it. So watch this, church. Watch this. I'm going to make a hard left. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10 says this. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." See, the saints might forget what you did. The pastor might forget what you did. Your ministry leader might have forgot what you did. But God is not unrighteous to forget what you've done. In other words, church, our works and our fruit is not forgotten by God, but he's waiting for us, listen, church, to complete the principle and initiate the asking status process. And this is why some people get weary in well-doing. You know why? Because they're getting weary because all they're doing is working and not asking. Which now brings us to point number two, and that is your heart matters. Look at somebody and say, "Your heart matters." See, your heart matters because everything you do, it comes from the heart, which is on the inside of you. I'm going to reread Colossians 3:23. He says, "And whatever you do, do it," here's the focus this time, "heartily." In other words, whatever you do. And so that's outside of church now. He says, "Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord and not unto men." So what I want to do now, because I'm going to talk about our hearts, because see, your heart determines your harvest. So if my heart is wrong, my harvest won't show up. So what I want to do is show you how God views our hearts. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 6, the context of this is when God has spoken to the prophet Samuel and said, "Listen, that king over there was acting up. I'm now going to anoint a new king. Go down to Jesse's house, and I'm going to have you to anoint the next king of Israel." So now it says, "And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab. And he said," this is now all of Jesse's sons except for David are lined up. He gets to the first one, which was the oldest one, whose name was Eliab. Let's see what Samuel did. "And Samuel said, 'Surely the Lord's anointing is before him.' But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look on his countenance. Do not look at his height or his stature.'" He says, "You know why? Because I've refused him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance." Read this with me, church. "But the Lord looks on the heart." Listen, I love this in the Message translation. This is what it says. "When they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, 'Here he is, God's anointed.' But God told Samuel, 'Looks aren't everything. Don't be impressed with his looks and stature. I've already eliminated him. God judges persons differently than humans do. Men and women, they look at the face, but God looks into the heart." Look at somebody and tell them, "Your heart matters." See, here's the sad thing that most people do. We ignore what's happening on the inside of our hearts because we think it's going to go away. You start feeling frustrations and tensions and issues and all that. We just kind of ignore it, thinking it's going to go away. But most of the time, we don't realize it's not going to go away. So here's the question. You ever said to yourself, your heart wicked? Some of y'all, if you're honest, you probably have. But most people are clueless that their heart is wicked. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. It says, the heart is deceitful. In other words, your heart can be deceived. And he says, it's deceitful above all things, and it's desperately wicked. Doggone it, desperately wicked. That means it's wicked. And when it's wicked, watch this. When your heart is wicked, you become desperate. He says, the heart is deceitful above everything and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, I search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways. Listen to down that same verse in the New Living Translation. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, search all hearts and I examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. Church, let me say something. Let me tell you what's been rolling in my spirit. That scripture in Galatians said, be not deceived. God will not be mocked. Whatever a man sow is what he's going to reap. If you think you can do wrong and get away with it, you have been deceived. God will not be mocked. Here's a take-home statement very quickly. A wrong heart cancels the reward of right service. I'm going to say that again. A wrong heart cancels the reward of a right service. So this is how the process works. I'm going to try to do this real fast, right? So let me just tell you ways that God can reveal your heart condition, okay? You know how you go to the doctor? You ever been to a cardiologist, you know, and they may want to do like a EKG on you? How many have had an EKG? And you know, what they're doing is they're trying to determine the state of your heart, right? Well, How does God reveal the heart condition that we have spiritually? Here's the first way. He wants to do that by using his word. And that's why you got to stay in the word. Listen, some of you are spiritually dirty. You only get a bath once a week on Sunday. Touch your neighbor and say, he ain't talking to me. Now look at him again and say, did you read your Bible yesterday? He wants to use his word to help reveal our hearts to us. The second way is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is real. He wants to reveal some conditions of our heart. Here's a third way, which may seem interesting. God will use difficult situations to reveal your heart. Listen, sometimes fire is good because it purifies. Sometimes God will help reveal our heart conditions through the assistance of others. This is why you have to have good friends, good community, so they can tell you about yourself. Here's the fifth way. He does it through our thoughts. Because, see, our thoughts are the gateway to our heart. Your thoughts will reveal where your struggle is. So there's one remedy to getting a clean heart. And let me tell you what that remedy is. Only God can do that. Only God can do it. Only God can do it. Yeah. They'll probably have that on a clip later on. So the only remedy to a clean heart is by doing these steps. Here's the first step. You got to first recognize your heart is messed up. And see, God will reveal if we want to be healed. See, if you want to be healed, God will reveal. So you need to recognize first that your heart is bad. It's like bad breath. You don't know you got it. You need to recognize. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to recognize. Okay? You got to recognize. Here's the second step. Is that then, after you recognize, man, my heart is messed up, then you got to be real with yourself. How did you get here? Here's a take-home statement. A damaged heart will eventually disrupt your service. So what are the things that causes people's hearts to get jacked? Well, offense, that's the big one in the church, offense, right? But then here's the bigger one, a transferred offense. That's where somebody else got hurt. They told you, and now you hurt. I don't want your COVID. No, because some of you are walking around with spiritual COVID. Somebody coughed on you. Did you hear that? I'm in the house right now. I know I am too. Hurt can be one of the things that disrupts your heart. Trauma is one of the things. Here's the third thing. After you've recognized, and then after you got real with yourself, the third thing you got to do is you got to repent. In other words, what you confess, God can refresh. But what you conceal, God can't heal. You got to repent. Here's the fourth thing. Then after you repent, you got to release, because you might need to forgive somebody. Well, they didn't come and apologize. Don't matter. They shouldn't let your heart be held hostage because you're waiting on an apology. No, free them, because you're the one in captivity anyway. So after you release them and forgive some people, then guess what? Now you need to renew your mind. You need to get God's word and begin to pour it in. Watch this now. So your old mind won't contaminate your new heart. David said, created me a what? Clean heart. So you don't want your old mind to, watch this, to dirty back up your new heart. And then after you renew your mind, you now to get on, you have to repel. In other words, you need to guard your heart from wrong thoughts and wrong feelings. So here's another take-home statement. Your heart is not a trash can. It's a treasure chest. The Bible says life comes out of your heart. The issues of life come out of your heart. So church, here is why your heart matters when it comes to asking status. That's why I went through all that. Because if your heart is off, you ain't going to get no asking status. You're going to have a nothing status. So the reason I wanted to mention all of that is because your heart is the control tower of your mouth. Luke chapter 6 verse 45, Jesus said, and I'm almost done here. He says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure, notice I told you at first, your heart is a treasure chest. That's telling us right here. He says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. Read this with me, church. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Everybody say, my voice matters. My heart matters. Now we're on last point here, and that is your serving matters. Because whenever you serve, watch this, it helps others and God remembers it. I'm going to say that again. When you and I serve, it helps others and God remembers it. And some people will not experience healing, freedom, or salvation without us serving them. Luke chapter 5 verse 17. There's a story where Jesus started preaching. And so it says, and it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, and they came out from every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Verse 18. And behold, men brought a man who was in his bed and was taken with a palsy. Was a disease. Apparently the man couldn't move. And they sought means to get him in to Jesus and to lay him before Jesus. And when they could not find room on how they could do that, watch this now, because the multitude was so great, these people, it didn't even tell us how many of them was, but can you imagine? They went to this man's house and picked him up in his bed. Now, I mean, he could have been on the TV show The 600 Pound Life, I don't know. So we don't know how many people, but we do know it was enough men, watch this, that they picked him up, they carried him to Jesus, and they picked him up, put him on the roof, broke up the roof, and then they let him down in the midst before Jesus. In verse 20 says, and when Jesus saw whose faith? Whose faith? It didn't say when Jesus saw that man's faith. It said when he saw their faith. Let's see what happened. He said, man, your sins are forgiven. Now the latter part of verse 24 says, and so he told him, arise and take up your couch and go to your house. Verse 25, and immediately he rose up before him or them, and he took up that which he was laying on, and he departed to his house glorifying God. This man was being served by others, and their faith helped him get healed. Them dropping him down from the roof to get Jesus or to get to Jesus changed his life. In other words, those people serving change this man's life. Here's a take-home statement. Your service drops people to healing or drops people to hurt. Which one are you doing? Our service matters. When we serve, it helps others, and God remembers it. Acts chapter 10, verse 1, and I'm closing. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. He was a centurion of the band called the Italian band. He was a devout man and one that feared God with all of his house. Watch this. Look at now, because we're getting ready to see how this man's service to others and God, how it positioned him for God to remember what he was doing. Watch what happened here. He says in verse 2, he was a devout man, one that feared God with all of his house, which gave much alms. In other words, he was a giver. Some people have that gifting. That's one of the giftings in my life. He gave to the people alms, and he prayed to God always. Well, let's see what happened. He saw in a vision, evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel came to him and said unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked at him, he was afraid. He says, what is it, Lord? He says, your prayers and your giving have come up as a memorial before God. In other words, his service got God's attention, and it caused God to remember him. So just remember, when you're serving, man might forget it. Your leader might forget it. Your pastor might forget it. The person you serve might forget it. But God didn't, he didn't forget it. It comes up as a memorial. In other words, God sees. Never think that your serving goes unnoticed, because God sees. Everybody say, God sees. God sees. See, that means that if I'm on staff, listen, if a staff is serving, the staff matters. The parking lot people matter. The ushers matter. The two kids workers matter. The musicians matter. The choir matters. The praise team matters. The greeters matter. The media team matters. The social media team matters. The drama, dance, and production teams matter. The new membership admin people matter. The Sunrise Cafe team matters. The counseling department matters. The share team matters. The facilities team matters. The intercessory team matters. The true group team matters. The outreach team matters. The inputting team matters. The admin volunteers matter. The youth servers matter. The servers of Man Cave matter. The grow group matters. The faithful givers matter. And any group I didn't name still matter. You know why? Because serving matters. You say, well, Apostle, why you go through all those departments? Because I'm trying to see where you can pick one and get involved. Look at somebody and say, you need to get busy. So what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Because we got to apply this word. See, you don't get to new levels spiritually without applying the word. If the word tells you, when it comes to holding your tongue, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to get mad. Now you have an opportunity to exercise that, because you and your wife is having some conversations and you just want to jump all over him or jump all over her, and the Spirit is saying, I'll be quick to listen. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Here's number two. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you identify anything that has obstructed your heart from serving. Here's number three. Apply the remedy process that I gave you earlier so you can get and maintain a clean heart. Here's number four. Start serving so that fruitfulness can take place. I know it sounds like I'm trying to get you to do something in here. I know it sounds like that. But it's God's will for you. He's really trying to get you in a position so when you just open your mouth. Okay, so I don't have time for this. Maybe I'll do it in the second service because I don't have time for it. Well, I was going to give a... See, most of us are comfortably enjoying this building. But when I was negotiating the terms of the loan, You have to understand, whenever you close on the loan, you start paying for it even though construction ain't even started. So watch this. We started the loan process in 2016, right? Well, the process to get the building started didn't start to 2017. And then 2018, we didn't move in to 2019. So that means we would have been paying on this loan 3 years before we even got in the building. I was like, oh no, that's not going to work. So I put together a plan. I said, you know what? Here's what I want to do, mortgage company. What I want to do is for the first year, we don't even pay nothing. I can't remember what terms I gave them. I gave them some crazy terms. I said, you know what? And so then after the second year, you can raise our payment to this. And then the third year to this. And then when we move into the building, you can give us our full payment. They said, Pastor Connor, we've never done that. We've never heard of anything like this. We've never done that for anybody. I said, but I'm not anybody. And they did that deal because I have asking status with God just like you do. And then the last thing, activate your asking status with your voice. So with every